Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
Did you know that this is episode 403?
I didn't.
Top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you for a third time. A 400th and third time?
Yeah.
Let's just say third. It's easier.
Yeah, I think that's easier. I like things that are easier.
Yeah.
On the menu today, chicken sausages, sweet potato.
The sweet potato is really yummy.
It's nice. I like cut them into kind of like chips, sort of.
Next time, I don't know if this is a thing. Mm. Can you like drizzle honey on them?
Oh.
Or balsamic.
That's not like a bad idea.
Balsamic glaze them.
I've got balsamic glaze.
Do it.
Oh, and then bake them like that. Salad as well. Damn it. Okay. We'll do that next time. I do have another sweet potato, and it's one from the garden. This one's not.
Oh.
This one was a bit older, and I was like, oh, I should use this one.
Yeah.
Okay. I have been watching Dateline.
Really?
And I've been catching up on Only Murders in the Building ahead of Only Murders in the Building. Mm-hmm. God, that's funny. I looked over at you. You were trying to eat salad, and sometimes it's really difficult to eat salad in a way that doesn't involve you looking like a rabbit who's eating a salad.
Yeah. While also trying to answer and sound interested in what you're saying next to a microphone without hitting the microphone with lettuce and carrot. Yeah.
I get you. Yeah. It was a good move. So they're the things that I've been watching. And because of that, we've got a Steve Martin quiz.
Oh. I have been watching I watched a documentary, an award-winning Australian documentary.
Ooh, Aussie.
And a show that I guess verges on doco, more real world, real people, real time.
Okay. That I'm intrigued because I can't quite figure out what that means.
Me neither, because I can't think about what genre it is. So oh, okay. I'll just leave
Maybe
you hanging.
Maybe it's its own genre. Mm. All right. Well, all of that is coming up, but we need to get into the
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Golly.
It took a while to start up and then it just took off.
Sounded like a horse that got like shot into space.
Oh, it's in space and now it's a tree, space I was going to say, but I don't know why. We like Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
We like Guy Pearce.
Love Guy Pearce.
What if we had both of them in an indie film?
Tell me more.
Okay, I will tell you more whilst you enjoy your salad. It's called The Queen of the Falls, and they've got these two. They are the headline, so they're co-starring in it. Now, they're not saying anything really about the plot apart from, this is from Deadline, and I quote, "It will be a music-infused tale about two lovers on the run."
Really?
Yeah, so maybe they've done something wrong and there's lots of good music. Will they be singing and dancing? I don't know.
So music-infused as in good soundtrack or as in musical? I mean, we know Guy Pearce can sing.
Pamela Anderson was in Showgirls, but she didn't sing, did she?
I think she tried and it was obvious she's not a singer.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see how this goes. There's always a good thing. There's nothing to be balked at. There's nothing to
either
choose. To flick your nose up.
Don't flick your nose up at me.
For a really good soundtrack. You think about the classic soundtracks from when we started buying CDs, you've got Trainspotting and Romeo and Juliet.
But we've talked about recently incredible soundtracks being almost a new character on shows like Handmaid's Tale. I can't think of the other ones that we said.
We've also spoken about video games and how the music in those create emotions and endorphins and stuff. So, yeah, music's still very important, but a good soundtrack with songs that you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's why Glee was so popular.
Few old bangers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You need to know stuff. You need to know stuff. Kurt Russell, is he married to Goldie Hawn or are they just
I don't think de facto? They actually are.
Yeah, I feel like they're not. Anyway, he's going to be in the Yellowstone spin-off called The Madison. Now, this this Yellowstone thing is out of control. I feel like everybody that has started watching it watches all of it. Yeah. Absolutely every single part of it. The prequels, the sequels, the spin-offs. And now you've got Kurt Russell, who I'd say he's a bit of a legend, right? An acting legend. He's going to be with Michelle Pfeiffer, definitely acting legend. It's about, and I quote from Deadline again, actually, "The Madison is a heartfelt exploration of grief and human connection following a New York City family in the Madison River Valley of central Montana."
Mm.
Matthew Fox is in it as well, which I thought, that's a name I haven't heard for a very long
time. From Party
of Five. Yeah, and Lost.
And Lost, yeah.
He got lost.
Yeah, that massive show that he was in. Yeah,
but you like to go further. Did you ever watch Party of Five?
Yeah.
I didn't really watch it.
No, you didn't.
They were really sad and I just wasn't on board with sad stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't like
it wasn't a comedy.
90210.
Yeah.
Like have your lesson and then.
And then just really party.
Yeah, go to the beach. Yeah.
Finally, absolutely finally. I can't believe this has not been a thing yet. Call of Duty is owned by Activision, who is owned by Xbox, who is owned by Microsoft. But Call of Duty, the bosses of, have had a chat with Paramount and they're like, you know what we should do?
A movie.
We should make a Call of Duty movie. Isn't that crazy that hasn't been a thing yet?
It has not. Has it not been a thing?
It hasn't been a thing yet. So weird.
Yeah.
Now, Paramount have, so they're, they made. Is that
because there was no real storyline?
But there are storylines. They're just different storylines. Oh. So you can play the campaign.
Yeah.
I think most Call of Duties have a campaign, which is the storyline. And then when you finish that, actually, you don't even have to play the storyline. You can then go and just play online, you know, like your, what's it called?
Free play.
Okay.
I'm making that up, but good. That's actually what it is.
It is free play. Yeah. It's like the Fortnite, Battle Royale. My goodness, I couldn't think of it. And also your team deathmatch, like all that kind of stuff. They've been playing this game. These games have been around for, if I said about 20 years, I reckon I'd be close.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know what the movie's going to be about. I don't know which Call of Duty franchise they're going to borrow
Black
from.
Ops, surely.
Yeah, that would be my guess, but Modern Warfare's a thing as well. Or maybe they'll make a whole new thing. Who knows?
Maybe they'll pull them all together.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, you could have a bit of everything. But if they make a movie about it, they're going to want to make a series of movies if it's popular.
Yeah. So who's going to be in it? Is it going to have a main cast, like a main man?
You'd think. I mean, if it's going to be Black Ops. What's that character's name? Mason. He's the guy, you know, think of the numbers, Mason.
Who's our latest action heartthrob?
You'd want a Chris Evans, wouldn't you?
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's verging on a bit old.
Oh. Oh, you want younger. Okay. I can't think of any actor ever.
No, I don't know anyone.
Okay. Michelle Pfeiffer?
That sounds really appropriate.
Okay, great. Fantastic.
Did you see the thing I posted on the Watchers?
Which one?
Instagram stories where, oh, this is going to be a terrible story because I can't remember anyone's names. The young girl, Brittany Snow, who played Michelle Pfeiffer's daughter in Hairspray. Mm. She's been in a lot of other stuff in that series recently. I posted a video of her speaking and she was like, I bombed my Hairspray audition. Like when I say bombed, I bombed it. It was, you know, I think she said the acting was okay, but no, the dancing was okay, but the singing and the acting was not good. And the casting director called her back and was like, so, yeah, thanks for auditioning. She's like, yes, I know.
I know.
I know.
Don't tell me.
Like, I'm really sorry. That's not what was supposed to happen. And he's like, well, you know, I can't really do anything else. Anyway, so she hangs up. And then she remembers that maybe a year prior she'd gone to a psychic and a psychic had said, you're going to be in a huge, huge hit motion picture where a blonde bombshell plays your mother. And then she found out that Michelle Pfeiffer had signed on for Hairspray. So she called the casting director back and she's like,
just give me one more
chance. Yeah, she goes, look, I might sound completely crazy in this, but just hear me out. But I went to a psychic and they told me I am going to be in Hairspray.
This doesn't sound real.
Yeah, and the psychic told me Michelle Pfeiffer was going to play my mother. So
is she?
Should we do it again? Should we try? She got it.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Isn't that a cool story? And she's like, moral of the story is go to psychics and believe them.
Yeah. That's amazing. Another thing that's amazing is that Steve Martin is an actor and we've seen lots of things he's been in. We're going to test Steph to see how well she remembers these things that she's seen Mr. Martin in. But that's not now. Don't be ridiculous. The quiz is at the end of the podcast. You should know that by now. What we're doing now is we're getting into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Can I go first?
Do it.
I've been watching some episodes of Dateline. Yeah. You know that show that's been around for years and years and years and years on SBS?
Please tell me more.
I just went on to SBS On Demand because I heard that they did, I thought it was just one episode, but it ended up being two episodes of that Mosaic brand. Remember? Mm-hmm. The brand that it wasn't just a brand. It was a company that owned a lot of brands of clothing.
Yep.
So Katie's, Miller's, Rivers. There are a few others. Some I didn't recognize, but that's okay. You don't have to know every single shop in the world or in Australia. Shops that would, if you went to Katie's, you could kind of guarantee that you could get something easy.
Yeah.
Maybe pajamas, a bit like your Suzanne's, pajamas, get like a nice, sensible long sleeve t-shirt.
Your basics.
Yeah. Miller's, I think, was a bit like that, but for older women, mm-hmm. I think they were more catered to that. And Rivers was just for everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd see them in almost every single shopping center, but more importantly, you would see them in country towns like the main drag or their shopping center, and that's kind of that would be the
target
main
market.
Exactly, and they were the shops that everybody could go to and buy everything they needed. Well, it went under, and I was watching the Dateline episodes, and they just owe so much money to so many people, particularly clothing factories over in places like India and stuff, like millions. I'm talking millions of dollars. And then I thought, okay, that was good. You know, like I got a bit of an insight into that because sometimes you can just sort of read the main headline of an article and go, that's enough. And to watch a bit more. I thought, well, what other sort of episodes have there been out recently? And there was one I watched about women or girls. No, more like women, young women in India who get pressured into having a virginity test on their wedding night.
Oh, gross.
By the community.
That's just.
And it's just so
intrusive.
Gross.
And mind your own business, you old duddies.
The way that they did the story, though, was very respectful. They didn't say out loud, this is ridiculous, to the people they were interviewing, but they kind of let them say, not like your Louis Theroux, but kind of like that. I think it was Cal that was doing it. And there was another one I was really tempted to start watching, but then I thought, I've had a few heavy episodes of this.
Yeah.
One where a woman in China, she and her fiance wanted to confront her father, who had been quite abusive to her when she was a child, and the mother who didn't do anything about it. I thought, well, I think I might watch that a little bit later.
Yeah.
You know, you can only watch a certain amount, but it's just really good. Like
good.
Just different stories.
Good
obviously,
journalism.
Good journalism, but the perspective is from an Australian take. But that doesn't matter. It's showcasing and highlighting different things in different parts of the world. They go all over the world to do this kind of thing. And it's been around for years and there's so many episodes that you can just watch on SBS On Demand. I love that kind of thing. You know, things that if you, back in the day, if you had missed it, you'd missed it on TV. If you hadn't watched it, then.
Not home in time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then someone would have just explained it to you the next day at work or something. What have you been watching?
Interestingly enough, I watched something on SBS On Demand as well.
Twins.
Yeah. I watched a show that is not new. It has maybe four or five seasons, but I started at the beginning. And it's a show called Couples Therapy. It's not a comedy. It kind of sounds like it would be a sitcom, doesn't it? But it's not. It's a documentary series that follows couples who seek the help and the therapy of a psychoanalyst who's Dr. Orna Gulranic. I'm sorry, I'm really not pronouncing that correctly.
So glad you finished the word, though. When you said they sought help from a psycho, I was like, what?
Psychoanalyst. It's and they're obviously coming, you know, nobody goes to couples therapy unless they've got troubles in their relationships or, you know, hitting crossroads, that sort of thing. What's really interesting and I feel respectful in this series is it does not glorify people's fighting. It doesn't feel like it ever takes any sides, but it's this really empathetic and very much not sensationalism view of people's lives. And it made me realize how complex human beings are, that, you know, somebody might get a diagnosis of something, but there are so many factors going into why a person might think, feel, react, whatever, to a word, a situation, a comment, you know, all of these different things. And this particular series, you keep coming back to the same couple. So you see them over a long period of time.
In each episode.
Oh, okay. And so you see their therapy grow and build and, you know, come to really wonderful, I guess, realizations and respect and all of that. But what's fantastic about the psychoanalyst is how she can get them to open up and speak without taking sides.
And without and without everybody getting defensive.
Yes.
Because that would be an easy thing to do.
Because there was one particular man who was talking and I was just watching him going, you are such a douche. Like, oh. And she was so good at nodding and going, yep, and asking him follow-up questions that made him feel like she's interested in what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
And then she would, like, she'd actually call him on stuff and she'd say, hang on, do you actually feel like this or are you just wanting to spar with me?
Interesting.
So, you know, work with me in this. And it was so, so interesting. It probably was more interesting to me because I just came off a book about
Oasis,
a psycho.
Yeah.
Was she a psychoanalyst or a psychotherapist?
I think she was a therapist.
Wanting to become, I think she was a psychiatrist wanting to become a psychotherapist. And yeah, that, you know, that was a whole bunch of stories of different characters with different needs. And so coming into this was really interesting. And I watched this first episode and thought, oh, I don't know if I love this. I don't know if I'll watch any more than the first episode. Just, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure about it. I ended up watching maybe 4 or 5 episodes in a row. I just kept it going. You know when the little thing comes up and says, are you still watching this?
Are you still with us?
Yeah. I mean, Netflix usually does it like 1.5 episodes in and you're like, yes, Netflix, I am.
Relax.
But SBS gives you a little bit longer until they go, okay, very politely, continue watching. You're like, yes.
Yes, please.
You hooked me and I have not left.
Is it Australian?
No. It's from in New York.
New York. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it would also be a bit of an eye-opener for people who have never been in therapy before. Like, what exactly is the process? What do you have to do? How raw does it get? Is it exhausting? Like, what is it?
Well, exactly right. I mean, I've not done therapy, but I was sort of like, well, how do you make that decision that you need therapy? And that's coming away from watching it, I thought, I think we probably all could benefit from just having somebody openly listen to us and then say, I think there's a reason why you reacted like that. There's something else in that emotion.
Interesting.
It was really interesting. Cool. And I can understand why there are now 5 seasons of this show. I don't know if the same couples continue season to season. I'm assuming it was probably new couples each season.
Yeah. But yeah, probably.
It really is one of those shows that you could put on in an afternoon and then quite happily just watch for a few hours.
Get through it.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Oh, I like that. That's cool. I like it when you get addicted to something like that. Mm. You think, I wouldn't have even guessed I would be into this, but I am. This is what I am. Only Murders in the Building, like, we knew straight away when we started watching the first season that we liked it, right?
And then this is our type of therapy.
Exactly. And then I got to the third season and I was like, this is good, but it's good. And then I never watched the last episode.
No, nor did I.
It was really weird. So I thought, look, only it's coming back. Season 5 is upon us. I'm just going to watch the last episode and then see if I feel like getting into season 4. Season 4 is really good. I've
got back on.
Yeah, I've watched half of it in the space of 3 days.
Did the storyline become more of what it was originally?
Yeah.
It felt like season 3, while it still had the hilarious characters and the mystery and all of that, it was just stepping aside in the building. And you were like, what is this?
Yeah, so this one is back in the building and it involves people that you already, characters you already know.
Cool.
Yeah. And now I'm really like downhill stretch into finishing that this season, and then I can
straight in. It's what I say, best time to start a series. Yes,
you're so right.
Is when a new season's coming.
Right. So right. Season 4, really, really good. If you were similar to us and for some reason there was something about season 3, even though it had an amazing cast, I don't know, there was just, I think because it wasn't in the building.
Yeah, it sort of dragged a bit for me. It was like every time you thought you knew what had happened,
yeah,
then the next episode would be like, what? Who is this person that we're now talking about?
What's happening?
I reckon I could watch season 1 again quite happily.
Do you remember who did it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I watched something not funny. It's not.
Is this the one that you were talking about? You couldn't figure out the genre?
No.
Oh, that
couple's therapy. I was it is a documentary, but it just has a little different, You see what I mean by like in real time? It's not like a lot of documentaries are repeating a story that's already happened or going back. This was, Anyway, this one is a documentary that I watched, and it's an award-winning documentary. It is on Stan in Australia. I wonder if it's gone any around the world, potentially. So it won Best Documentary Feature Film, something like that, at the Logies this year, and it is Unbreakable, the Elena Dokic story.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, Elena Dokic was an immigrant to Australia when she was maybe 8 or 10, quite young, and was a tennis superstar. You know, like by the time she was 15, 16, she was at Wimbledon and Australian Open and winning everything and just, you know, roaring through that world. And she had a very strange father, very controlling.
He was her coach, wasn't he?
No. He was originally before they came to Australia, and then he realised how good she was and he did outsource the coaching. And I think he realised that by using people in the industry, you could actually get further, but he would be, I guess, what you would maybe your manager type thing. He controlled her in every sense of the word.
A bit like a stage mum.
Yes. However, it came out later on, and Elena's been very open about it now, is that her father was incredibly abusive physically, verbally, mentally, the whole way through. You know, things like she would win tournaments and there was no congratulations. There was nothing. If she lost by one point, she would have to come home and stand with her face against the wall for hours on end, you know, just humiliation. I think she might have won Wimbledon, and she was so proud of herself, and she looked up and he stood up and he was the only person in the whole arena not clapping, and he just got up and left.
And what was the reason? Well, she doesn't know.
Just didn't do it well enough.
Wow.
Even though she won. So anyway, the documentary obviously follows the book that was a raging success as well. And you do hear Elena talking throughout the documentary about a lot of things. It was very interesting, and maybe it was a very interesting time when people didn't feel like they could speak up against people who were quite dominant or other cultures. You know, you didn't want to sort of look over your neighbor's fence and then say anything about it. Sure. Whereas I feel like we've changed in a world that if something is not looking right, we tend to step up and, well, hopefully I would hope that we step up for kids. But it was an interesting one. There is a lot of tennis talk, but that is just the world that she was in, and it highlights how high the stakes were and how incredibly successful she was, but was not allowed to feel like she was successful and wasn't safe in her world. It's very interesting documentary.
She still does a bit with tennis, doesn't she?
Like she's a commentator.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So she knows her stuff. obviously from experience, but in a there's also having done it, but also being able to talk about it as things are happening. Yes. So she's must be well spoken.
Very well spoken.
What's that called? It's just called.
It's called Unbreakable, the Elena Dokic story.
Because he was almost as famous as her.
He was, and it did get to the stage that even when she was. There was one interview that I do actually remember, not that I followed tennis back then, but yeah. I do remember that maybe it was right before the finals of the Australian Open and she fired her coach and she had to go, you know, on national media and say, yeah, I fired him. And they were like, why? And in her head, she's like, I didn't do this. I didn't want to fire him. Right. I'm just sprouting words that I've been told that might save my skin when this interview finishes.
Gross.
And when she eventually came out about the abuse, she was estranged from him and living in a different country. And he threatened the Australian ambassador. And he was arrested for that and put into jail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, I think so, but I think he's in jail still.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting life. Would you like to get into something a little lighter?
Yes, please.
This is the quiz. It's about Steve Martin movies. I'm going to read a synopsis. You're going to tell me which movie it is. With his wife on a book tour, Tom Baker finds his life turned upside down when he agrees to care for his 12 children while simultaneously also coaching his new football
team. Cheaper by the dozen.
Do you want to do a year?
Or 2003?
Yes.
Stop it.
I can't stop it.
An expert. It's what's so funny is that beginning synopsis sounded exactly like that show. Oh, I forgot the name of it. The Australian one has the two English people came out. Oh, the main character's name is Austin.
Yeah, you watched it recently.
I watched it recently. And they are on a book tour with his wife. That's exactly how it started. And I went, that is not Steve Martin.
Steve Martin's not in that. Don't be ridiculous, Leah. Oh, well. Three actors accept an invitation to a Mexican village to perform their on-screen bandit fighter roles, unaware.
Too easy. Three amigos. Can you help?
Yeah. A Chicago advertising man, that's like most movies, must struggle to travel home from New York for Thanksgiving with a lovable oaf of a shower curtain ring salesman.
Planes, trains and automobiles.
Yes. Yeah?
81.
It's 87.
87. Do you know what? I was going to say 89. I was like, no. That is way too close to the 90s.
Yeah. A simple-minded, sheltered country boy suddenly decides to leave his family home to experience life in the big city where his naivete, that's French.
Yeah.
Maybe, is both his best friend and his worst enemy. Simple-minded, sheltered country boy.
I can't think. I need a clue. Co-star?
Yes. His dog was called something like Shithead or.
Yeah. The Jerk.
Yeah, The Jerk. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah?
Jerk or The Jerk?
The Jerk. I think it was The Jerk, yeah.
That would have been 88.
It was much earlier, 79.
79. Yeah, that's true. He was salt and pepper. He wasn't just salt.
That's right. George Banks, don't say it too quickly, must not only deal with his daughter's pregnancy, but also his wife's.
Yeah. Father of the Bride 2.
Year?
96.
Oh, wow. Okay, 95. I would have said earlier.
No.
But then, yeah, you're right. Father of the Bride, the original one, I would have said 91 or 2.
Yeah, 92. And then I felt like there was a bit of a break.
Mm. George Banks is such like
George
that
Banks.
Name.
George Banks.
George Banks. Four Buckman siblings attempt to raise their children, each in their own different style, and deals with the joys and sorrows that the process brings.
It's parenthood. Yeah. I mentioned that to someone a couple of days ago and I just got blank looks and I thought,
are you serious?
Well, their kid had a bucket on their head and I was like, oh, look at that. It's Justin from Parenthood movie. And they just looked blankly and I'm like, you're really missing out because I feel like the person I was saying it to
would love it.
Would love it and has a good sense of humor, but clearly doesn't have that image burned into their brain. Like
when you're sliding into first. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bizarre. Yeah.
87.
Nine. There were a lot, so many saturated. Quite a few movies of his from around that era where I remembered. Like the poster.
Yeah.
And maybe the name, but I wouldn't have been able to tell you what it was about. So I thought that's a bit unfair because you probably wouldn't either if I threw a synopsis in about like the LA story.
Yeah. Yep. And I feel like at the same time there was Bill Murray, there was Chevy Chase. Yes. They were all doing.
John Candy.
Yeah. Mm. I'm a middle-aged man comedy. Were they doing it really well?
They were all from Saturday Night Live.
I think they were.
Pretty sure. Look, there's no way of knowing. There's no way of finding out except to give him a call, which we will try and do later. Maybe Bill Murray wasn't.
After I Google his phone number, because that's easier than just Googling.
That's a good point. Yeah. Stephanie, on that note, thank you very much.
I'm feeling something burst.
Oh.